Russian forgot to start that. But anyway, catch a live on video there. Anyway, we're talking about First Peter 1. What's the word of God? It is eternal, but what is flesh? Is that grass. It's the glory of man. Just like grass, our glory is. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word by which the gospel is preached. So, we see it again. What is eternal, the word of God? What's temporal? Our flesh. It's going away. As we turn here close, look at 2 Peter 3. 2 Peter 3. We'll see our final examples of these. 2 Peter 3, starting in verse 10, says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness." Notice 14 here. "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless." Peter's telling to look for such things. Keep that in mind. We'll deal with this looking later on here, third point. But look for such things. Look for new heavens and new earth. Look for this old earth to go away. And all that we see. Think about what we deal with, all that we see. We see ourselves, we see our houses, we see our jobs. All this is going away. Do not put undue emphasis on the temporal things. Put it on the eternal things, the Word of God. So, we know we've heard from the past, in Matthew 6, we won't turn there, Matthew 6, 19, 21, where's our treasure at? Where's our heart at? It's where our treasure's at. Matthew 6 tells us we need to lay up treasures in heaven. That's where our heart's at. God's looking on our heart. Don't look on the temporal things that we can physically see and lay hands on. And so, let's turn to 2 Corinthians 4:18 and wrap this point up. 2 Corinthians 4:18 for us here. Paul's telling the Corinthians, closes out this chapter in 2 Corinthians 4:18, says, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." That's the key. Don't be looking on the things that are temporal. Look on the eternal things. Look on the Word of God and what it says. Key thing is look. As we turn back to our passage, Mark 13, going to our second point here, it's like we see verse 32. We'll start 31 again. "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is." Don't know when that time is, but what's this saying? The Lord is coming back. In the context for the nation of Israel, during this tribulation time, the Lord is going to come back. You don't know when it's going to be. For us, in this dispensation of grace, the Lord is coming back. He's coming back to get us, to rapture us out of here. Key thing, there is an appointment made. God has made the appointment. Do we want to believe there's an appointment made? It don't matter if we believe it. There is an appointment made. God has made the appointment. Are we going to keep it? And what's this appointment? Let's look at that word a little bit, appointment. Hebrews 9, chapter 27. God has made an appointment that we're going to meet him. And what's he say about this appointment? Hebrews 9, verse 27, 28. Hebrews 9:27 says, "And it is as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." What's this appointment for us? appointed unto men once to die after this judgment. The appointment is, hey, we're going to die, judgment's coming. But also, look what 28 says, so Christ is once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin and salvation. This is the book to the Hebrews, talking nation of Israel. Not talking body Christ, but think of the parallel. What are we looking for? Paul tells us, hey, look for him. Christ is coming. We'll meet him in the clouds. Are we looking for him? Another thing that we'll talk about. Looking for him coming in the cloud. The point of the man wants to die after this is judgment. Okay? We can't escape it. Judgment is coming. As it's seen from the introductory verse, we're going to receive for the things we did, the good and the bad. We either receive the inheritance or receive for the wrong that we did. Let's look at another, this word appointment, Acts 17. Paul states that it's Acts 17. There is an appointed time. The Lord's made the appointment. Are we going to keep it? Acts 17. In verse 29, starting in 29. Context of this one is kind of cool. Let's look at verse 23, starting there. Paul's in Greece, and they made this statue to the unknown god. It says, verse 23, for I passed by, and behold your devotion, I found an altar with inscription to the unknown god, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. This is Paul talking way back then to the Greeks. They made this statue and worshiped it to the unknown god. Ask yourself this. Is God known to us today? Is he known to me, to you today? Are we all just sitting here in church because it's the thing to do? Grandma told us to come to church. Do we really know God? Have we set up statues that are temporal, that are going to vanish? God's going to destroy them? That unknown God. Do we know God today? Look what it says. The passage here I was looking at, it's in 29. That's the context. Paul's in Greek to the unknown God. 29, he says, for as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like the gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. Think of that. They were setting up idols. They were making these graven images. But think of this point about graven by art and man's device. How many idols that we set up in our own heart by our own devices, you know, that are temporal. Think of that. Devices that we set up that are temporal. We ought not to think of the Godhead of those. We don't put those, we should not put those temporal things ahead of God. And verse 30, in the times of this ignorant, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Hey, get your heart right with God. He winked at that. God takes you right where you're at. Get your heart right and repent. Because, 31, here it is, this appointment. Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. Think about that. There's an appointed time. Judgment's coming. If you're around here, you've heard that before. 32. When they heard about this, there's this appointment coming. We're all going to be resurrected, newness of life, to meet him in there. Or if we die, we're saved, we're going to meet him, we'll be judged. Some mock, and others say, we'll hear this again, and make fun of us. Or you might say, oh, that's interesting, I'll talk to you later about it another day. There's a point in time. When is it? When is it that we're going to be judged? For us, body of Christ, this appointed time is going to be at our death or at rapture. One of those two things is going to happen to us. Our appointed time is then. Then we get to ask ourselves, God has made this appointment. He's going to keep it. And I'm going to meet him there. What am I going to do? If we knew we were going to die tomorrow or next month, what would we do different in our life? Nobody knows that, right? Nobody knows we're going to die. We've all had loved ones that die way too early. Even when you die old, it's still too early because it just flies by. It's gone, our time. And I'm reminded of that. Let's turn to one passage we turned to last time about resetting our priorities. Let's turn to Psalm 90. Psalm 90 reminded us what we need to do. Psalm chapter 90. We need to recognize this time. We're going to meet him in our death. Psalm 90 will start in verse 9. It says, "For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years, and if by means of strength they be 80 years, yet is there strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. We know the power of thine anger, even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." How many days do you have left? You know, the Bible here says, you might 70, maybe 80. That's what he's going to give us. And remember my whiz bang math I did last time. That's less than 2 hours in God's eyes when one day says 1,000 years. 1,000 years is a day. In God's eyes, our 70 or 80 years is less than 2 hours. That's how the perspective of what we have here to do, what we're going to do to serve him, to evaluate ourselves, to be ready for this appointment that is coming. So, teach us to number our days. The point is made. Teach us to number our days. We apply our hearts unto wisdom. Where do we get wisdom? From that eternal word. We don't get wisdom from man's thoughts, temporal things. We get it from the eternal word. Teach us to apply our hearts to the word of God. So, talked about when's death. It's coming for all of us. None of us know when. It's not very long, no matter how long we live. Teach us some of our days, apply our hearts to wisdom. The other thing, this appointment is made with God when we meet him is at rapture. But when's that going to be? Just like in the context of Mark, at his second coming, no one knows, and at rapture. When we meet him in there, no one knows. But we do know this from the Word of God. We know what the last days look at. Let's look at some clues of what the last days look like in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Last days. In the last days, rapture will happen in the last days. So look at these. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Paul explained to Timothy what the last days is going to look like. What's going on? See if we got any of this going on. So we're talking about the appointment by rapture, if we meet him. It says here in 2 Timothy 3, verse 1, it says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, crazy times." You think perilous or crazy going on right now? Yeah. Let's look at some examples here. "For men shall be lovers of their own selves." Lovers of their own selves. Hey, that's your truth. That's your way of thinking, your way of living. You're good. Lovers of your own self. No one can tell me that's wrong. I'm a lover of my own self. Covetous. Oh, covetous? That rich person has that, I'm going to go steal it. Or that store has that, it's my right, I'm going to go steal it. I covet that, I want it, it's mine, I'm going to get it. You know, boasters. Proud. The pride. The blasphemers against God. Talking against God. Disobedient to parents. Unthankful, unholy. We see all these things going on today. Verse 3, we've seen this. Without natural affection. Perilous times will come, the last days, without natural affection. What does God define as natural affection? Man and woman, one man, one woman, in marriage, united marriage. That's natural affection. That's what natural affection is. Unnatural is anything other than that. So, have we seen any of that these days? Oh yeah, see a lot of it. Truth breakers. Don't keep promises. False accusers. People declaring false things about us or about whoever, you know, telling lies, but no, that's a thing. We've got to do that. Incontinent, fierce, despiser of those that are good. Despiser of those that are good. Have we ever seen more of a time now good is bad and bad is good. The Word of God tells us what's good. All these things listed here, they're shown as good these days. Despite of those, they're good. Despiters of God and His Word. Verse 4, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Do whatever you want. It feels good. You love the pleasure. Let's go do this and that. Let's don't worry about God. Have any form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. And if you look real close at many churches, they're welcoming this stuff into their churches because it brings in nickels and noses. Brings in people so they can keep paying the bills and look good to the world, whatever. Have any form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Turn away from that. Stay in the Word of God. Know what is right. Know what is good. Know what is natural affection. Know all these things. Know that this is wrong. Perilous times. Last days. I think we can all look at this and see like, yes, these are highlighted way more than they ever have been. And these are the last days. So when are we going to meet God? When is this appointment going to happen? The last days, rapture will happen. There's evidence. A lot of evidence is not far off. When this rapture happens, how long is it going to take? It's not long. 1 Corinthians 15. Let's look at that. 1 Corinthians 15. In the last days, this rapture is going to happen. We're going to meet God. It says, 1 Corinthians 15:51, behold, I show you mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. When? In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. When's the rapture going to happen? It's going to happen in God's time, and that quick, twinkling of an eye, boom, we're out of here. The appointment is going to happen. Are we ready for that? Appointment's going to happen in the last days. Does anyone not think we're in the last days based on what we just saw? Time is appointed. It's going to happen. Thinking about what most of us think of appointments with our boss. Our boss calls an appointment. Hey, Kurt, I'd like to see you. Come see me in the office here in 15 minutes. There's an appointment made. He wants me there. Am I going to ignore that appointment? I don't think so. It's not good for your employment. If you just ignore that or blow him off or tell him to, you know, stick it, I'm doing something else. No, that's not going to work. The Lord is doing the same thing. But, hey, there's an appointment made. You get the answer for what you've done with me, for me as a servant. What is your motivation? Have you served me? There's an appointment made. If that thought doesn't get you a little bit stirred up and it's like, hey, maybe I ought to have a little more desire than what I've had here up to this point, then may need to look if you're saved or not, because that's very important to understand and see that. In a moment, in a twinkling eye, it could happen that fast, and we got to give the answer. Let's turn back to Mark. Look at our third point. We'll start in 32 and read on through 35 here. It says, but of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Only God knows that time, not even the Lord knows, only God. It says, take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning. Third point here, after we see first two, that temporal things are not eternal, let's focus on the eternal. There is an appointment made by the Lord, and it's going to happen whether we want it to or not in God's time, and it may be real soon, but we need to take heed to your work, as it says there in verse 33. Take ye heed, watch and pray. verse 34 it says, and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work. That line right there is the one that stood out to me, and that's why I focused in on this passage, to every man his work. Take heed. Take heed. Watch and pray. They go together, don't they? Watch and pray. So, if you're a born-again believer, saved with Romans 10:9 salvation, Ephesians 2:10 tells us we got some work to do. Let's turn to that. We are his workmanship. Starting in verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Not one single thing can we do to earn our salvation. It's a free gift by grace through faith. In verse 10, for we are his workmanship, creating Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Should's a key word. It's our choice. The Lord's ordained us to walk in them. We should be walking in them. We're created unto good works. Take heed to your work, the Lord's telling them in the context of Mark. Take heed to your work. Watch and pray. In Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, he mentions that word too. Let's look at that in the context of taking heed. 1 Corinthians 3. We've accepted the Lord Jesus by his free gift, and he expects something from us. Starting in verse 8. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 8. Now that he planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. We heard that, didn't we, in Colossians 3? Receive own reward according to his own labor. Labor is work. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, and ye are God's building. God, we are laborers together with God. We are workers with God. Verse 10. According to the grace of God which is given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. Take heed to your work. Take heed how you build upon the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Very key thing to understand. Take heed to that. You think of all these, we talk about being motivated minister and motivation to minister. Motive. What is that exactly? That's what's in our heart. That's what drives us, gives us that desire to serve him. And the key thing that I think we touched on last week, maybe, think of David when Samuel was picking the next king of Israel in 1 Samuel 16:7. Samuel comes there to meet Jesse and all his sons, and he basically said, hey, God says, hey, I don't look on the outside, I look on his heart. That's why he chose David. David was the youngest, small, but he looks on the heart. God looks on the heart all the time, every time. What is your motivation that's driving you? It should be what I'm laying out here. Focus on the eternal Word of God. Know that there's a time appointed that we got to answer for the service that we gave to the Lord. Am I taking heed of the work? Am I watching and praying? Let's look at what Paul lays out for us, being an apostle to the body of Christ, Gentile church. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 4. We turned there earlier, but we'll read the full passage now. We think of taking heed to your work, watch and pray. When you see the word watch, I mentioned already a couple of times, watch is what? That's looking. That's looking. Watch and pray, about look and pray. We're going to see in the context here what we need to be looking at and praying about. Look. And this first one here, the most important thing is our relationship with the Lord Jesus. Called charity. 1 Corinthians 13 tells us about charity. That's the most important thing. We need to look in our heart. We need to look in our heart and our love relationship with the Lord. As we talk about in 2 Corinthians 4, starting in verse 14, it says, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, and that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. Thanksgiving of many. We need to be giving thanks for all that he's given us here. There's the prayer side of this. Giving thanks for all that he's done. And what? And do what with it? Verse 16. For which cause we faint not. Don't quit. But though our outward man perish, yet the inner man is renewed day by day. Outward man perish. This flesh, like grass, withered. It's going to perish. But the inner man is renewed day by day. Renewed by what? The Word of God, the eternal Word of God, day by day. Outward man perish, inner man renewed. We need to look in. Verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Whatever we're going through, it's just a light affliction. When we think about it in context of what Paul went through, we haven't even had any affliction compared to what Paul went through. But whatever we're going through, it's like, and it'll be a more eternal weight of glory. In verse 18, we looked at it, it says, look at there's a key word, why we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We need to look in, watch and pray. Look in and pray. Do we have the focus of the Lord Jesus as our number one priority? Take heed to your work. Look in. Second thing, watch and pray. Need to look out. Look in. Look out for what? When you get the Lord gets a hold of your heart, you make him your number one priority. You need to be looking out. And how do we do that? Well, familiar passage. Ephesians chapter 6. We put on the whole armor. Let's turn to that. Ephesians 6. When we get the Lord functioning in our life, getting his word, try to make it a relationship, what, who and what is coming after us? Mr. Prince of this world, Satan himself, is coming after us. We need to look out for that. How we do that? We do that by putting on the whole armor. Starting in verse 10, Ephesians 6 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Satan himself is coming after us. That's why we have to put on the whole armor. The whole armor. To be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. It says, continue on, verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. In the evil day, perilous times, that kind of correlate with each other? Yeah, it's an evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth, which is the word of God, John 17:17, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, whereby you should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. That shield of faith, take it, put it on. Quench the fiery darts of the wicked. Look out for what's coming at you. To do that, you got to put on the whole armor of God. Verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You can't do anything without that eternal Word. Guidance. And then verse 18. Remember, watch and pray. Look out and pray. Put on the whole armor. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Watch and pray. Praying for, supplication of the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication of the saints. You're watching out for others. You're helping others. Huh. Serving him, serving others, helping others. Watching and praying for helping others. Help feed the people around us. Help build them up, edify and strengthen as the body of Christ is supposed to do. Take heed to your work. is look out by putting on the whole armor and praying, helping those around us get their armor on as well, and get the understanding about how important it is to look in, have that relationship with the Lord. And talk about two things: watching and praying, looking in, looking out. Well, guess what? God is a Trinity. We are a Trinity. This thing, looking out, watching and praying, is a Trinity as well. We need to look in, we need to look out. And what's the last thing? We need to look up. The Lord's coming. We need to look up and be ready for Him. Be ready for His appearing. 2 Timothy 4:8. Starting verse 7, which is Paul telling Timothy, he's at his last days here, about ready to be executed. He tells Timothy, 2 Timothy 4, verse 7, I have fought a good fight, I finished my course, I have kept the faith. Can we say that at our day of appointment? That appointment day is coming. Will we be able to say that? We need to ask ourselves and understand that. Verse 8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. Receive the crown of righteousness if you love His appearing. Well, where is the Lord going to appear at? He's appearing in the clouds. He ain't coming to earth. That's His second coming after tribulation. We're going to meet Him in the clouds. That's looking up. Love His appearing. That's the heart attitude. Now, we don't all physically sit here like, looking up the clouds all day. It's spiritually. Just looking up, waiting, just can't wait for that day. That desire to meet Him that day. And I dare say, when I'm laying out here as a Trinity, if you're not looking in, you're not looking out, you're not looking for His appearing either. You can say you are, probably, but it ain't really. You're not really. God will judge that and understand that. We have to be functioning in all three. Now, some may say, well, I need to focus on my relationship with the Lord. That's true. That's true. And I need to do that only. That's not true. You got to do all three of these at once. You know, we can walk and chew gum, as some have said before me. We need to do all three at once. We need to look in our heart, get a close relationship to Him. As we take what we learned, we put on our whole armor, we give it to others. Hey, here's this piece of armor. I learned this, I learned that. Look at this. And in doing that, as you're growing, the Lord looks on your heart. He knows you're looking for His appearing. Those three things go hand in hand. We need to be doing them simultaneously. Not just, say the words, I love you, God, I want to see you one day. Don't work that way in God's eyes, because He's looking on the heart, our motivations to minister. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians. Let's look at a little 1 Corinthians 15. Back to that moment of rapture. Look a little closer at that. Remember, we've got to take heed to work by watching and praying. We need to look. We need to look and pray. 1 Corinthians 15:51. Starting there, it says, before I show you mystery, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. There that is, that moment, that appointment, that rapture. It's just that quick, it's going to happen. Could be any day. As we carry on here, we're looking up here. The point is, are we looking up, looking for this day? It says, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Death is swallowed up in victory. Not, if we get raptured out of here, we don't have to die. We get to meet Him at the appointment that God has made for us. It says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is law. Verse 57, notice this. Remember watching and praying. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He's given us the victory over the death. Whether we die or whether we're raptured, He's given us that victory over death. We need to be thanking Him for it, giving Him thanks for all that He's given us. Remember, what's the point from Mark? Watch and pray. The Lord Jesus said it. Watch and pray. Look and pray. What's it say in verse 58? Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Am I looking up, waiting, loving is appearing, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Take heed to your work. Because we need to know that our labor is not in vain. Take heed to your work. God is going to judge our motivations. Taking heed to our work. We need to apply this trinity of taking heed to our work. Look in. Get a relationship with the Lord. Look out. Put on the whole armor of God. Give it to others. And look up. Be ready for His appearing. Love His appearing. Just as Paul did. Awesome to think about. Awesome to see. As a motivation to minister. Look at the back to Mark and look at our last point. Why is it so important to take heed to our work? Because, as we see in 36 and 37, lest coming suddenly, he find you sleeping, and what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. This testimony that we have is going to be discovered by the Almighty Judge, Lord Jesus Himself. When we think of discovered, we can kind of put it in our terms today. What happens in a lawsuit? They call it discovery. They can come back, the lawyers, if you get a case against you, they can come back and discover everything you've ever written on the computer, paper, in your files, anything that's a document, social media, all that can be discovered. That's why a lot of companies have limited time on emails. Man, they're deleted after year, 2 years, or however long. They're deleted and gone. They can't be discovered. They're gone. That's our policy. And they can't be held against them, deleted. Guess what? God doesn't delete any of our work that we've done. The documentation He's compiled on us, it never gets deleted. You're going to receive for the good or the bad. It doesn't get deleted. Let's look at Hebrews 4:12. And I've already touched on this about our heart. God looks on our heart. We knew that from the way Samuel picked David according to God's truth. He looked on his heart. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Very familiar verse here. We'll read 13 as well. It says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The eternal word of God that we should be focusing on is a discerner of our thoughts and our intents of our heart, our motives, in other words. What are our motives? Hopefully they line up with what laid out today. What are our motives? In verse 13, neither is there any creature that has not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. In his sight, at our judgment, the Lord has seen it all, and we cannot hide it, no matter how much we think, oh, it's in secret, our thoughts are in secret, or whatever. He's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Lord knows. He knows. Our testimony will be discovered by the Lord Jesus at our appointment. 2 Corinthians 5:10 tells us judgment seat of Christ happened. It reiterates what we looked at in Colossians 3, but 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to what he hath done, whether it be good or bad. There it is again. Receiving the things that are good or receiving things for the bad. Our testimony is discovered. God will judge us based on our motives and what we did for him. that we take heed to that work that he laid out for us, that he expects us to do as a servant of him. In our passage in Mark 13, verse 36, says, "Lest coming suddenly, he find you sleeping." Guess what? There's only two ways God's going to find us: when he comes back and he takes us to that appointment, our testimony discovered, like this. Find you sleeping? He could. What's that mean? Romans. Let's look at Romans 13:11. He could find us sleeping. Pray that he doesn't. Romans 13, starting in verse 11. "And that knowing the time," what time? It's the perilous time. It's the last time. The appointment's coming. "And knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." Our salvation nearer than when we believed. Go to meet him. Have we pleased him? Have we had the motivation to minister? Have we take heed to the work? It says, verse 12, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, and in, not in rioting and in drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." Find sleeping? What are you going to be doing? All the opposite of these things. You're going to be making provision for the flesh. You're going to leave the work, not cast off the works of darkness, and not put on the armor of light. You're not going to be looking in, looking out, looking up, putting on that armor by looking out. No, that's when you're sleeping. The Lord says, it's high time we wake out of sleep. Our testimony be discovered. One way we could be found is sleeping. Remember that image that Paul was talking about in Greece when he was there? Made that image to the unknown God. That's who I'm worshiping. That who we're worshiping today, that unknown God, or worshiping the God of the universe that has laid this stuff out for us to follow him. Don't be found sleeping. Know him. Flip side of that, sleeping. We'll look at the context, the same context in tribulation, Matthew 24. Matthew 24, same context as I said before in Mark 13. We'll look at Matthew 24, 44, starting at 44. Remember, this is the same context. Jesus is answering that question. When's the end? It's going to happen. And he says, in starting verse 44, "Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." That appointment is made, and he's coming. Verse 43, "Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give him meat in due season?" That's the definition of a faithful and wise servant right there. The ruler over his household, made a ruler over the household, to give him meat in due season. Verse 46, "Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing." Two ways you can be found. Sleeping, making provision for the flesh, doing what you want, not caring about God, serving the unknown God, or so doing right here. Be found so doing by the Lord. So doing what? Serving him as a faithful and wise servant by giving his household the meat in due season. Looking out. You're looking out for others. You're giving to others the Word of God. You're showing others the life of Christ through your life and your words and your deeds, because you've looked in, you've looked out, and you're looking up. In due season, you can be found so doing by the Lord. Two ways. Good, bad. Sleeping, so doing. Which way are we? Which way am I? We have to ask ourselves and know that. Motivation to minister here. Sleeping or so doing. In due season. I'm going to close on that little phrase there, in due season. Paul only said that one time in the context of reaping and sowing. Galatians chapter 6. Familiar passage. In due season, the Lord's coming back. In due season, we will reap. But thank God. Let's see. Starting in Galatians 6, verse 3. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Yeah, look at me. I go to church every Sunday. I pay all my this, I do that. Look at me. You know, yeah, okay. But let every man prove his own work. Then shall he have rejoicing himself alone and not another. Prove his own work. Take heed to your work. What is your work? Have you done looking in, looking out, looking up? Or done what you wanted to do, your own flesh? Take heed to your work. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not another. For every man shall bear his own burden. The Lord, at that judgment day, that appointed time, that appointment, you're going to bear your own burden. The Lord is going to expose what you did and let you know about how it went. It says, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Don't be deceived. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. God looks on our heart. You're sowing by what's in your heart. You're going to reap what you sow. For he that soweth to his flesh shall also the flesh reap corruption. So sleeping, flesh. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. So doing. Reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. Okay. You got these motivations down. You understand what we're supposed to be doing, the Lord's. But then you decide, nah, I'm done. It's over. I'm quitting this race. Don't like it. Had enough. In due season we shall reap, if we faint not. You faint, you're out. You're sleeping now. Can't think. Do not think. You've got to be motivated to stay in the game here. Keep it going. Have that desire to serve Him. Don't think. No matter what comes in this crazy world, don't think. Because we will answer for it at our appointment. Nothing more than Satan would want for us to think. That's what he wants. Don't give him the victory. In verse 10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. Remember that second point of looking out, helping others, watching, praying for them, and giving to others? Helping those of the household of faith grow up, edify, build up, and strengthen in the body of Christ so we can all meet Him one day and receive the glory that He'd have us to receive at that appointed day, that judgment day that's coming. Look at all this and see. Do a close inspection of what is my motivation. Am I motivated to minister on this? Or that roadmap that God lays out in His Word, I still don't have time to pick it up. I'm going to get mocked. Or I'll deal with it later. Our choice today. Time is short. God says, take heed to your work. Am I doing that today? Lord, I just thank you for this day and this time. Let us see your truth clearly laid out here, Lord. Help, I pray that we received it, we saw it, we understood it, Lord. We have a little more desire today to follow you, to stay in the game, to stay in the race, to do what's right for you, that one day, at our appointed time, we can answer you in judgment, and you will be happy with what you saw. Find us so doing and not sleeping, Lord. Just thanking and praising you now as we go forward for you, giving you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.